Did you ever consider leaving Lafayette?
Not after the first few months here. I came in with the idea I was leaving, but no, not at all. Mm-hmm.
What kinds of activities, work experiences, or sports were you involved in here?
No sports here. I taught skiing on weekends for my first couple of years here. So I would go away to the Pocono area, either on day trips or went up and stayed with my parents. So I did a lot of skiing when I was here. The sports that were open to females were, you know, more sort of intramural kind of things. It was not hugely important. There just wasn't much of a facility for us. In fact, there weren't many facilities for us in lots of things. I mean, the theater was unbelievably pathetic. The art department, I mean, maybe two rooms big, and music, same thing. So the things that you consider, you know, liberal arts, fine arts, it was almost non-existent. And sports as well.
Did most students stay here on the weekends?
Yes, most students did stay here on weekends, yeah. And there was a lot of partying.
How did Vietnam affect your time at Lafayette?
Vietnam affected my time at Lafayette in a number of ways. My class was the last year of student deferments. It was also the first year of the lottery. I remember radios on and kids sitting around radios waiting for their number to be called on the lottery, and what a really grim and scary time that was. I remember a fire/bombing of the ROTC building. I remember thinking that the ROTC guys were nobody I wanted to have anything to do with. I remember that a lot of the guys were here just to stay out of the war. They should have had another year to grow up. They were immature for freshmen, but they just needed not to be cannon fodder. It was a scary time, and it was scary for the women as well. I mean, we had no danger of losing our lives, but it was a tough time. I remember a protest on campus. Kent State was the year before I came here.
Mm-hmm. What was the economic status of most students like?
I think most students were fairly well off. It was clear that most of the women were in pretty good financial shape. There were so few of us, and we were so selected to make sure that we made a good impression and did well. And, you know, I guess trying to prove to the alumni that it was a good decision to let women in, that I don't remember anybody having a tough time of it, truly tough time of it financially. There were clearly kids on scholarship who had a tougher time. One of my best friends' mom worked at the college here, so she could have her education here, and they did not have a lot of bucks. But I think she was somewhat more the exception than the rule. Which is not to say kids here were really wealthy. They weren't. I think they were decidedly middle class.
Was religion ever a divisive issue for students, and did you, as a Jewish student, have any issues to deal with?
I don't think it was divisive. There was a Hillel group that I attended a couple of times, but it was not very big, and it didn't become important to me. I think it was important to some students. I don't recall anybody ever going to church on Sunday, which the chapel did have services, but I don't ever remember anybody going. I don't remember ever feeling unavailable, you know, as a potential date because of my religion, or, you know, ostracized anyway. I do recall that fraternity houses were still keeping Jews out, that there was a Jewish fraternity, which was a crazy place, and that there were Jewish students in only a couple of the other fraternities, but for the most part, they were not well integrated with Jewish kids or black kids. Jewish fraternity is where the black kids joined. It was off campus. It's now a hotel. I don't know how they ever cleaned it up, but it's now a hotel.
Do you know of any women who transferred from Lafayette and why they left?
One of my best friends transferred to Cornell to be near her boyfriend. I don't remember anybody else. Yeah. Another very good friend transferred to Florida to be near her boyfriend, by the way, who was a Lafayette graduate. She dated an upperclassman. He went to Florida for law school. She followed him down there. So My only recollections of women leaving had to do with romance and not for academics. Maybe if I thought back 30 years, I'd come up with a couple of others, but that seems to be the case. That's what I remember.
Would you say that relationships and even marriage was something that most women were looking towards during their college years?
I think we were very split on that. Again, the cheerleaders versus the freaks. The cheerleaders were very much looking for an MRS degree. It was clear that women getting an engagement ring and graduating out of here with a husband was important to a certain group of girls. That was not true with me and my friends, although many of us did meet our future mates here, and I was one of them. But I don't ever remember really much wanting to get married out of here, but I did want to have a relationship. It was important for me to have a relationship coming out of college, but not an MRS degree. No, not at all. Didn't get married for many years after.
About feminism while you were here at Lafayette, and what do you think now, if anything?
I'm a feminist. I think feminist means equality for women. It's plain and simple. I can't understand why anybody would pretend not to be for that. I'm a mother of two girls. I had two brothers. I'm no different than they are. I'm entitled to all of the privileges of the world that they are. So, having said that, I don't remember feminism as being an issue here. I remember being just an independent woman trying to get a degree to go on to graduate school. I do remember being part of the group of women who would not put on makeup, clearly. Having said that, we did blow our hair dry, I guess. But, we were not going to class to look good, and there were other women who were going to class to wear the nicest outfits. I mean, so it was a split class, for sure. But I think of myself as being a feminist, or as it says in those articles, a women's liver. You know, the language has sure changed. I've been consistent all my life. This is how I feel. I was just, thinking back to a class we had in psychology on human sexuality. And it's like women tended to be pretty liberal, don't you? And one woman stated in the class, there's a mixed class with men and women, that being a virgin to her was the most important thing going into marriage, which she intended to do one day. And I remember all of us jumping all over her about how ridiculous she was being and how uncool. But you have to keep in mind, this is a different period of time. We had the pill. We did not have herpes. We did not have AIDS. And free love was the name of the game. People were having casual sex partners. I think that the group of women were divided along those lines as well. Those of us who were much more casual about sexual things, and those who were indeed not casual. The world has changed a lot. That kind of attitude would get you dead now, or sick.
Can you tell me, was birth control available on campus, and how did women feel generally about abortion?
Birth control was not available on campus. Planned Parenthood had office hours up at the Easton Hospital, and I was one of the few people on campus with a car, and I would drive people every day. I think it was Thursday. I actually worked for Planned Parenthood 1 year as a student intern. I would drive kids to go and get their pills, their exams, and so on. I know that freshman year, the doctor on campus was very unfamiliar with females and female problems. And one of my friends went there with very, very, very severe menstrual cramps. And I mean, he gave her an aspirin to go home. He was clueless. And so that I do remember having a big change on campus when they either got a nurse or somebody who had seen a woman once in their medical life. So the campus was not prepared for us medically, that's for certain. I don't remember anybody being against abortion. It was a given that in our particular socioeconomic group and during this time that getting knocked up was a real bad idea, and abortion was something to be considered. one of my friends did have a child before she came here, and I don't know what her circumstances are or why she did, but it was clearly unusual. And I do think women having abortions was not unusual.
The first women's studies class to use today's terminology was offered in 1974. Was there a push by female students for such a class?
Gosh, I mean, I don't know. That would have been my senior year, and I wouldn't have taken it, I don't think. There probably was a push for it. There was a push for a couple of other things. I remember there was a push to have a teaching degree, an education degree, so we could be teachers coming out of school. So I do remember that there was a push for those sorts of things that hadn't been here before. So, yeah, my guess is there was a push. I just wasn't aware of it.
Do you ever remember women wishing there were more female professors, and do you think having more of them would have been beneficial for you?
I think it would have been beneficial, but I don't remember anybody really thinking it was an issue or wanting it. The education we had here was good. And I was in the psych department where the guys were very cool teachers, so you know, I didn't think of them in terms of their gender. They were just good teachers.
Can you describe the kind of clothing that most women wore in daily life?
There we are, right down the middle again. There were those of us in blue jeans, t-shirts, and no bra, sandals, long hair that was either ironed or straightened or whatever, and brandy glasses, those are little pink glasses. And the African American girls had big hair, froze. And then there were the girls were getting dressed in their ladybug or villager skirts, matching wool sweaters and circle pins. There were many fewer of them, but two different groups entirely.
And were the men split into two groups often?
Nah, the men were mostly jeans and corduroys and t-shirts. I remember there's one fraternity where the guys sort of made attempts at wearing ties and jackets a bit, but not that I noticed anyway.
Today some of the big issues for women on campus are date rape and safety. Were these issues for you as a student at all?
It's interesting you bring up date rape. One of my best friends was raped freshman year, and by the same guy who had raped another girl on a date. And at the time, not only did you not report this sort of thing, you hung out with your girlfriends and you cried about it perhaps, but there was a feeling of there was no place to go to report it. And the feeling also was that in some way you deserved it for going out and getting drunk with this guy. But it became very clear that women knew not to go out with him. And I remember to this day who he is and who he did this to and what happened. But it was nothing anybody became vocal about, and it did seem to be rather isolated. I also recall that there were sort of prostitutes that fraternities would bring on campus and gangbang, for lack of a better word, on a party weekend. I know that, you know, there were stories of this sort of thing, but I never witnessed it or anything. It was talked about, and nothing was done of it. What was the other part of the question? Date rape and?
Safety on campus.
Safety, no worries. Could be out at all hours, going anywhere, anytime. No worries. No.
How would you characterize the politics of Lafayette when you were here as a student and compared to today, if you have any sense of that?
It was very liberal, but then everything was, for the most part. The war had a lot to do with that. By the time we came here, the war was no longer in favor with most of America. So there were very few people who would have been supportive of it. I think that's why the ROTC guys were considered so other here. My feeling is things have gotten more conservative, but then I think the entire world's gotten more conservative. It worries me, and I don't like seeing it happen. But at the time, I think we were all pretty much on the same page, and watching Richard Nixon resign just after we graduated was something that I think was pretty unanimously agreed to as a good idea from this campus.
What was the Lafayette ideal in the early 70s in terms of what the administration looked for in a student, and what the students themselves strive to be like.
I don't know if there really was one. I'm not aware of them thinking there was an ideal. I don't think I mentioned to you that I was taken on a dog and pony show. Didn't get this on tape, right?
No.
My freshman year, I was taken along with several other women back to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area to a country club to talk about our Lafayette experience to alumni donors. I think they needed to, Lafayette wanted the donors to see that Lafayette women were okay things. We weren't scary or going to change their beloved campus or anything like that. So I do think that they wanted to, I don't think they would have taken us if we hadn't been dressed nicely, for instance. I do remember wearing a dress that day too. And I think Lafayette just wanted to graduate productive citizens. Clearly, my professors wanted me to go to graduate school. So, you know, I don't recall an ideal student. This was a time of people being allowed to be very individualistic.
What did you do right after graduation?
Right after graduation, I went to Washington, D.C. to go to graduate school in clinical psych. And I worked part-time in a needlepoint store in the Watergate complex. And I really enjoyed that. I've always been somebody who did a lot of handcrafts. And my interest in retail and designing became more interesting to me than graduate school. Also, my two roommates who went down with me did not go to school that year, and I think it was very hard for me to watch them go out and have a good time while I was still trying to study. So I think it was a bad idea to go right into graduate school, and I dropped out. I got into retail.
Just generally, what kinds of things have you been doing since that time?
Opened a retail store in Washington, D.C. for needlepoint designing. Did that for a number of years. We did a lot of original work. We did work for the White House and for the Vice President's House, so it was pretty gratifying. Worked with a lot of news correspondents and senators' wives, and it was a pretty heady time in Washington. Sort of backing up there, I also, when I left Lafayette, my boyfriend at the time went into the Navy. Spent 4 years here trying to stay out of the draft and then gets out of here, joins the Navy to learn to fly airplanes. But the war was over and it was a different time. And so he ended up back in Washington and we did end up getting married. And so he was flying planes with the Navy and we lived right behind the Pentagon. And I had a store in Georgetown. And he died. He died very suddenly from a toxic reaction to a lawn care pesticide. And it changed my life completely. I stayed in D.C. for another year. I closed up my business because I no longer could take seriously the problems of whether or not a lady was going to get her needlepoint cushion in time for her Christmas party. And I became very active with the environmental movement in an organization called the National Coalition Against Misuse of Pesticides. Was involved in an important lawsuit and became president of that organization's board of directors after that for a number of years. Then my needlework passion became, sort of took over again, and I hooked up with a man from England by the name of Kay Fassett to write quilting books. And we've now published two quilting books, and in the meantime I married my husband's best friend who I met at Lafayette, although he didn't go here, he would come here to spend weekends. And we now have two kids, and I write quilt books and run an online retail business, and life is good.
Do you feel that Lafayette prepared you well, socially and academically, for your later life and career experiences?
Yeah, and I have to say so. I think I use the stuff I learn in psych every single day. I think it helped me raising my children. It helped me deal with customers. It helps me understand the workings of design and color because it's perceptionism. So I think I've used my education in a very non-conventional way. It certainly prepared me for life in that I found a mate who was incredibly important to me, who changed my life in more ways than I can tell. And, you know, I don't think that was Lafayette's doing, but it is certainly the result of having been here, getting an education, falling in love, and moving out for the world.
Would you say Lafayette failed you in any way?
No, Lafayette didn't fail me. I mean, if there was any failure to be done, it would have been me dropping out of graduate school, and that's certainly on my own. Lafayette did not fail me. Never. I take individual responsibility for my own failures.
Do you feel that the college was adequately prepared for co-education in 1970?
Oh, sort of, no. I mean, I mentioned the doctor not having ever seen a woman's tonsils before. I recall they put bathtubs. Did you notice they put bathtubs in the dorm because they thought women liked to take baths? And they put kitchens on the floors, and they put us in rooms according to our height and weight so that we could exchange clothes. I mean, this is all sort of very charming in stories now, but nah, they weren't ready for us. They were not ready for us.
How do you think your experiences would have been differently if you had gone to a co-ed college that had an equal ratio of men and women?
Gosh, I suppose it would have been somewhat similar. I would have had female professors. That would have been interesting. But, I can't think of having a better time or education anywhere. So it doesn't occur to me as something I would have wanted to do or to go elsewhere. I can't think of a difference. I can't. But then I didn't have that experience at this one.
Obviously, since we're interviewing you for an oral history project, mm-hmm. we think that your being in the first graduating class of women was historically significant. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this?
Yeah, sure it was. I mean, breaking down barriers, isn't that what people of my generation wanted to do? We wanted to change the world. The world had not been so very kind to women up until that point. And people didn't question their government up until that point. The world changed a lot from our period on, I think for the better. And my children will not have to do lots of the same kinds of adjustment. And, you know, my kids, all of their doctors, their dentists, their orthodontists, their eye doctors, they're all women. And I remember taking them to, I don't know, another doctor for something, and them being amazed that doctors could be men. It says a lot from our time on.
If you could do your college experience over again, would you do anything differently?
Mm. No, I really don't think so. It was pretty wonderful. I would love my kids to have even half a good experience as I did. I don't think I would change it then. It was interesting times. You know, I hope my kids have interesting times the way I did. You know, I think the world has gotten a little bit vanilla in the last 20 years. And I don't think kids of today, feel some of the passions and drives we had for social change. That's kind of sad to me that they don't get riled about much of anything. Getting riled is important.
Is there any advice that you'd give to an incoming college student?
I mean, enjoy aspects of being here for the social and emotional and friendship, but other things as much as studying. I mean, studying is quite wonderful, and learning is certainly what I was here for in theory. But I learned as much not in the classroom as I did in the classroom. Enjoy yourself. Have a wonderful 4 years. This is a time to grow and enjoy all aspects of what is available here, from sitting on the quad to sitting in the classroom. Take all in.
Do you have any advice for Lafayette? Anything you'd like to see the school do?
No, they're doing it. My senior year, I wrote an honors paper on the difference between religious groups' acceptance of psychological counseling. I wrote this with Bill Weiss. He was after getting a counseling center here, and I was a student, I was a good guinea pig for this. So we found out that parents of all religious groups wanted their kids to be able to get counseling here. And now there's a counseling center. Driving up today, I saw the visual arts center down at the bottom of the hill. I don't know how you're going to get there except with an elevator in the middle of winter because the steps are treacherous. But how fabulous to have a visual arts center. You know, we had a room that was filled with sculpting dust and some oil paint, and that was about it for fine arts. So, I mean, this school is fabulous. It's rising to the occasion of having a much wider range of students than it had. It's not just an engineering school with a little liberal arts anymore.
Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you thought I would or would like to mention?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me more about drugs on campus. I really did.
Do you want to tell me more?
Yeah, there were drugs on campus. And again, the students were very split on kids who did drugs and kids who drank. And my perception was then and is now that drinking was way more greater social ill. There were kids who would get really, really drunk and really sick. There were alcoholics in our class. And also there were kids who were smoking a lot of dope and taking a lot of acid. But the kids doing the drugs seemed to be getting through and by and better academically than the kids who were plastered all the time. So it's interesting to me today as I wonder and wish for my children what's going to happen, because I think, like, kids experiment. You know, how do I feel about this? There were a lot of drugs. And, you know, now drinking is considered to be something to be terribly wary about also, much more so than it should have been. Fraternity houses had bars in the basement, you know, with spigots. I mean, these people were all drinking underage, and it was completely okay. I'm not sure it should have been, but it was. I think that's probably not so anymore. Do you still have bars in the basement for kids under 18?
I don't know if they have bars, but there's still a lot of underage drinking.
There is, yeah. How about drugs still?
All I've really seen is marijuana.
Interesting. It was a different time. I mean, there were times where kids would get together and take acid and sit around and play music and look at black lights. And, you know, it really was a... I just saw Austin Powers. It was just way too familiar, I gotta tell you. This is a lot of fun. Thanks. A little memory lane here.
Do you have any other stories or anything else you'd like to bring up?
There were a lot of dogs on campus wandering around. I liked it here. This was a place of fond memories. I'd like my kids to come here. This would be nice. Yeah. Nope. I think we covered it.
Okay. Thank you very much for participating then.
Thanks, Amanda.